Thank you for joining us tonight here on Sweet Liberty. It is Thursday, and it is the 28th of September in the year 2006. We're on not usually Thursday nights, as you know. Last night, Alan was our guest, and we were in a conversation, and I hoped that we would be able to pick it up this evening. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. We never know anyway, do we, Alan?
It's a long and winding road.
It's a long and winding road and a wheel within a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yep. Let me start here with our spiritual message. This is from A Course in Miracles, from the text, page 168. It says, nothing beyond yourself can make you fearful or loving, because nothing is beyond you. Nothing beyond yourself can make you fearful or loving, because nothing is beyond you. And when we were closing last night, Alan, my parting comments, I believe, you know, we have, since 1998, have been on the air together a lot, and of course, the history that you have given us and the people whose eyes have been opened because of the information that has been imparted. And the one thing for me that has been missing, as I said last night, it feels that each program, at least part of each program, someplace in it, would touch on the spiritual issues. Because we have touched on so much. I mean, there has been a lot of conversation about religion, and you've said without any qualms, without any ifs, ands, or buts, all religions are man-made, and they were made by man to control the minds, the beliefs, and therefore the behavior of people. And the people who have listened, many of our listeners have begun to realize that the religion that they have selected or were born into has been a lie. And it, as I said, it's left a lot of people. Then I don't have a count. By phone calls that I've received, letters that I've received, but mostly phone calls, now that I'm not doing shortwave anymore, people feeling lost, floundering, literally, because they realize the religion, the lies that religions have been teaching, and yet, what is there for somebody to hold on to? What is there for somebody, and not another myth, you see? And that's why I ask if we could pick this up tonight. I don't know where we're going to go with it, or where you would be willing to talk about.
You've got it's a quandary, really, for people, because they generally jump out of one religion into another.
I know that.
That standard path that they take. And yet, as I keep saying over and over, if this is the place where matter and spirit meet, and since this is a very important place for it to happen, since it's the only place for it to happen, therefore what you do in this life is of utmost importance. Therefore, you find your way towards one by living in the other. You work your way towards something which comes with time, if you're doing all the right things, which generally are not just for yourself. You help yourself as a side effect of doing the right things. And it's a complete re-evaluation of everything which you held dear previously. The old story about dying the death to be reborn, it was an ancient saying. And it's ancient, and it's modern at the same time, because it's the same path everyone must take, at least to start off with, where you truly look around all the things that you've chased all your life. The younger ones are being chased to go after the same things at the moment. And you for the first time, truly evaluate them. And you make a distinguishing line between one and the other, what truly is important in this life. And quite a few years ago, you remember, a guy phoned me in, and, oh no, he phoned, I think, and he said, you've got to get a computer, Alan. He says, this has become my best friend, my therapist has become everything to me. And I said to him, you'll lose yourself in the process. I said, because it says you can die and you can have that glass screen next to you as you're dying, but personally I'd rather have a human hand holding mine.
Yes.
So we're caught up in a time where science has become the sub-god, you might say, of this system. We've all been trained that if an expert says something in a white coat, then it's the gospel truth. And yet science is taking us into a form of oblivion for ourselves, albeit it'll be almost a painless one eventually, as people go through the changes. They're already adapting to them. But we're losing every single thing, the uniqueness of being human in the process.
And what is the
and
uniqueness?
That's the question that people have to ask themselves. Do they want to go on this path that's already been chosen by the elite for us, or are they going to start now and standing up and saying no?
Saying no to
what's
happening?
That's a personal choice.
Is that what you're saying?
To where we're being directed, yeah. We have lost so many things just in the last 50 years. That we used to call our humanity. We have lost the sacredness of life, number one. That's why it was always held up, even in the courts they had to hold it up, because of the religious traditions, which at least had that correct, that life itself was a sacred thing. We've watched ourselves being allowed. We've actually helped and enabled it to happen.
How?
All the way to abortion.
How have we helped and enabled it, Alan?
Pardon?
How have we helped and enabled it?
Because our own drives, we're told, you unshackle your drives, let them go. You don't have to hold them back anymore. You don't have to be morally or personally responsible for your drives.
Well,
that was the first part.
Yeah, but...
And then it was encouraged from the top. It was called the sexual revolution. And the sexual revolution was do your own thing. There's something there to take care of any fallout. Don't worry, just do it. Then the next part, of course, we've already seen the business that's been flourishing quietly, now it's in the open, to do with body parts and stem cells. It's a flourishing business.
I know it is, but what does this have to do
and
with...
And we think, and we graze all through this, accepting it, until it's now normal.
Alan, you're talking, though, with a great big huge wide brush, and like everybody has accepted it.
Well, do you want me to be specific and name names? Or
no,
something?
That isn't
we're
the
talking
point.
To, we're talking to everybody, because everybody knows what I mean. Most people have drifted through this as though it didn't affect them. It didn't affect them. And of course it has affected us, because a lot of the listeners out there have already had inoculations, and they use fetal tissue to make them. And their children have as well. So our silence as we drifted through this 60s, 70s and 80s period has enabled them to go so far. And with every bit of our humanity we give away, it makes it easier to give the next part away.
Yes. And once again, and I'm not asking you to name names, but people who got vaccines. I had my two daughters vaccinated, Alan, not because I didn't care or love my daughters, because I didn't know any better. And maybe when an individual finds out the dangers of these and continues to do it, then they would fit in that group that is going along with it.
Yeah.
But not everybody goes along with this. Not everybody does.
you'd be surprised how much people go along with so many things which are wrong, because it's over there that it's happening, or it's in the other part of the country, or whatever. Everything comes round to us eventually. Everything that happens anywhere on the planet eventually comes round to us.
Right.
And this was something which at one time was understood. That's why there was such indignation when something terrible was happening somewhere else, and we demand that it be stopped or whatever. But today it's almost as though everything is remote from us, because we have been depersonalized scientifically, gradually, until even, say, the family is pretty well non-existent today. That too. Everything has been attacked with gradualism. And now the state has become the god. Now, many people saw this coming and wrote about it. Like say, Carl Jung, who warned us all about the future we were allowing to happen. But because it was supposedly the good times, the music, the sex, the drugs, the do-your-own-thing, the shackles are off, it was so much fun to do it all.
Are you, let me ask you this. Since I've been doing the broadcast, Sweet Liberty, uh-huh. I've had a sense of our listeners. In the beginning, when I was on shortwave, the majority of our listeners were fundamentalist Christian, that, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament, the dichotomy, every word was true regardless. And it's come such a long way that my sense of the people who are listening to this broadcast today, they're not listening out of a desire for entertainment, because the conversations are just too intense for people to be entertained by them. And
I know that.
I wonder, would you?
But there's also people too who want to hear what they want to hear.
Well, do you think
they also call me?
They call you, yes, but the people that are listening to this broadcast, do you think they're listening because they're here?
There's a spectrum, a broad spectrum out there. However, we've all gone through the same things.
Well, yes, we have. I was wondering if tonight maybe you would speak to an audience that you know that a lot of them have come out of the lies or are in a process of coming out of the lies. And I wonder if you would speak to that understanding that so many of our listeners are coming to, rather than throwing this out there, like, you know, well, we all are the mass and we've all done this. And I've done things, as I said, the vaccinations. I had no idea. And there was evidently within me some, thank heaven, knowing when the mumps and the measles and these vaccines came out, and I got the calls from the doctor's office, I said, no, I wasn't going to do it. It wasn't because, I realized that it is creating autism, or that there's mercury in it, or aluminum. Many people who vaccinated their children did it because they loved their children and truly believed that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, because they worship the white coats.
I didn't worship white coats, Alan.
They were already trained. I mean, I was a toddler when we got all the U.S. Reruns of Ben Casey and Dr. Kildare and all this kind of stuff. Through drama, the people were propagandized into seeing these people differently than they actually were. And there's more of it today than there ever was before, actually, with CSI and all the rest of them.
And you think
to
that...
give a fictional account.
You think that a great majority of our listeners are in that mode, in that frame of mind?
It's hardly a person escaped the subtle indoctrination, but very direct, that came through the TV era. It's given them so many opinions and what it really has directed them in different ways. That's what it was given out to the public to do. Tesla is a computer that followed it. I always say that the tools that we're given are really the secondary effect is that we can use them, but it's never the primary reason they're given out. They're given out for more control purposes. Information has always been control, because you come to conclusions according to how much or what type of information you're given. But mostly behavior is done through fiction. We emulate what we see. And that's always been understood. So the people who are looking for answers have to be responsible for their knowledge that they already have. You don't sit with it. You don't sit with it. There's no point in teaching someone to sit at home and purr like a cat.
What
you
does
must
that
use
mean?
It. Many people want comfort. They want to be told, there, everything will be okay for you. I'll leave that to the New Age movement that tells them, oh, nothing's real anyway, so don't worry about it. And life will just go on and on forever for them. That is what I mean. People have to realize that here, as they walk the planet, they have a job to use the information they have. And that means risking losing friends. They're not your friends anyway if they walk away. It means you take the data, you photocopy, you do whatever you can with it, and you pass it out. I know people who do that.
I know you do. And I do also.
And,
so.
Yeah. And they are concerned not just about themselves, but they're concerned about others. And that's what we have to hold on to, because the system has been trying for years to break that connection between people, the I'm all right Jack type society. We must hang on to that's a need to share with other people our concerns for their sake as well. But you can teach people forever who will never ever use it, and that's a waste of time. People have to use it. They've got to stick their heads up above the trenches and get the information out. Even if you only eventually change 5 people in your lifetime, you've done more than most.
Yes, and I don't know how many people you've talked to. I would think that you have, that listen to this broadcast, that have called you, that have called me, that have lost their friends,
uh-huh,
and their families. Many people,
yeah,
lose their families because of it. What that's what I'm saying is that the mindset, the heart set of people that I talk to, they're not what you're talking about right now. And that's why, and we've talked about this since 1998, and that's why I was hoping maybe this evening that we don't, you know, do the general all over, you know, that's what everybody does. There's many of our listeners that they've sacrificed, well, their friends and their family. They feel alone. Pardon?
They've not sacrificed it. They were never used.
No, it feels like a, yes, but you know what? It feels like a sacrifice when it happens.
The change is within the person, and it's nothing to be ashamed of, and it's definitely nothing to regret. Truth has a price. It is and everything in this world is a cause and an effect.
Yeah, I used the wrong word.
When you're preaching the truth.
I did use the wrong word, sacrifice, and I said it feels like a sacrifice when it happens.
Uh-huh.
It is within them that that they have an impelling urging to share what they know, and because of that, they've lost friends, they've lost family. Many of them, Alan, I've taught over these past 10 and a half years. I couldn't even guess the number of people that I've spoken with. They feel like loners. They feel alone. In fact, that's a lot of times why they call, because they have sometimes to talk to somebody that they can relate with. And that's there's a lot of people in our listening audience that fit that.
Yeah.
And so they're doing.
You know, I don't see it the same way, you see.
You don't?
I don't view that the same way. When you have broken away, and I will call it the mask.
The what?
The stereotype.
Well,
the mask, might say.
Oh, the mask, okay.
The stereotype. When you've broken out of it, even though you'll still see or have the feeling for the old once in a while, you should really go on and be thankful, in a sense, to rejoice even, because there's nothing more wonderful than breaking through. There's nothing to compare with it. You can have sadness at those you've left behind, and the knowledge that they'll probably always be there. Not necessarily so, but probably a good chance. But you rejoice in the fact that you've broken through. When you can break through this system with all of the sciences behind it and the wisdom of the ages that's meant to keep you in a mental straitjacket from birth till death, when you've overcome that, you've overcome the world, and you can go on from there.
And
yes, you won't be part of the crowd, but that's part of what you sought after. When you look, don't ask for it on your conditions.
Yes, I found that out.
Yeah.
I found that out.
Yeah. It's like, you want truth with no attachments. You don't want any guarantees. And I say to people all the time, I said, you really, really want truth, are you sure? And I'll warn them, you'll never be the same again. And I'll say, what's dear to you? They'll tell me what's dear to them. And generally by that, I will go further with them. Or not.
In other words, what if they said, my family is dear to me?
Well, then I'd ask them, just how dear would you be willing to sacrifice losing them? And if they wouldn't.
So it is a sacrifice in your mind?
To them it is, not to me. Not to, see, there's a new belonging, you see. You can only belong with that which is on the same walk as yourself. You can't go back when you've opened Pandora's box.
You can never go back, no.
No.
No, I know that.
And so you certainly, see, you've left, as I say, the masked man behind. You've walked out of that room forever. And
okay.
If you still have nostalgia, then that will play on you, and that can bring you down again.
Nostalgia?
But you still can't go back, because you can't. So you have a choice to work your way through it and realize that whether you like it or not, you're not one of them anymore.
And when that does happen, I've experienced it. Of course, I'm not, you know, at that point where I'm walking on water. When the tension comes between you and your loved ones in family, your children or anybody in family, because of what you know and because you are so compelled to share it, and then they'll say, oh, please don't start preaching again. Well, Alan, that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me...
Don't preach to your family, yeah.
Well, is it preaching when you find... Oh, well, wait a minute. How do you know what's preaching unless I say...
Preaching is when you are speaking on something which they cannot possibly at the moment relate to.
In other words, if you're talking about some new information you found on a particular product that they might be using that is damaging livers. Now,
To them, if they have no interest in it themselves, then you're just being a control freak.
Isn't it a possibility? I mean, now this is a little bit of a double standard here we've got, because we have to, as you just said, we have got to stand up. We have got to share information that we have. Maybe our responsibility is to say that and then let it go, knowing that they're going to make the choice.
Yeah, but how many people do you know can let it go?
I'm talking about this particular situation, any particular situation where we finally realize that there are certain people who will and certain people who won't. And interestingly, when it's your family and they're in your heart, it hurts, even though you're compelled to, it hurts. And I'm not sure, because maybe I misunderstood, but it seems like what you said is you got to get through that, and you know, if you even have nostalgia, it's going to hold you back. Does that mean that we have to quit feeling, Alan?
You have to be able to handle feelings.
Pardon?
You have to be able to handle feelings in a different way. And every.
You mean it can hurt and you can accept the hurt? Do you mean that?
Yeah.
Well, okay, fine. But at least.
In every single religion, you have the same allegories over and over and over. That when the person changes, you never look back. There are reasons for not looking back. And in every single religion out there, all of them, when you change yourself, you belong to a different family. Everyone.
And everybody, do you see, or I don't know, in your comprehension, I know it's difficult for you to relate, because from, it seems, you know, from your very beginnings, there wasn't much you didn't know. But do you see that people are in certain steps? Everybody isn't at the same level of awakening or understanding. And so to take it to the very nth degree and say, if you can't do this, you may as well not even try.
I wouldn't try to wake someone up who hasn't taken the first step themselves.
What would be the first step? Well,
asking questions outside the box.
Okay. We have to take a break here. And folks, stay with us. We're going to be back in about 3 minutes. Although, I heard the warning, Alan, but I didn't hear the music, so...
I didn't hear it.
Oh, wait a minute. There we go. Okay. It's just a very low volume. So, folks, we'll be back right after this. And you said, talk about taking the first step, asking questions outside of the box. Let's pick that up. Okay. We'll be back, folks.
Sometimes our .com server goes down. So don't forget, we have a backup. FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light Purifier by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773 or order on the web at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Okay, we're back. And, Alan, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were talking, you had mentioned that sharing with people, and people whose journey, if you would, to spiritual consciousness is, you know, on a different path. I don't mean different, maybe a different level, if you would. On the journey, and you said that you wouldn't even not talk to somebody, but I don't know what you said, but you said unless they would ask questions outside the box.
You wouldn't teach them something outside of their knowledge, their present knowledge.
Well, why would you have to teach them if it was already their knowledge, though?
I just said if they didn't have it in them.
If
they were not expressing questions,
okay,
the right kind of questions, then there's no point. If you try to teach someone who hasn't asked the questions, you're actually nagging them. It's no different than a born-againer coming along and preaching the gospel to you over and over. It's outside of their present reality. They can't relate to it. So you can only teach people, and I hear it so often, because the first thing they want to do, it's like conversion, you want to convert the person next door to you or next to you, and it ends up in chaos for them. It makes a hell on earth for themselves and their wife or husband or whoever. If you truly love a person and you know where they are in their mindset, if you truly love them, and you know if they've been asking questions or not, about, as I say, outside the box. If you truly love them and they haven't been asking the questions, leave them in peace. You're not loving someone when you start to nag them, and that's how they see it. And that causes so much conflict, tremendous conflict. And you have to be able to accept that that person might never have any inclination to ask the right questions.
Because
they are making decisions.
I've had experiences, well, actually, conversations with people who have told me that I said something and they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the same thing again another way and they finally got it. But maybe it took, several times.
Yeah.
Those were things I didn't know about until I was told about. But mm-hmm. I don't see the difference in that and in saying something. And leave it go. After you've said it, leave it go. Because how do you know at what point they're going to, quote, get it, Alan?
Yeah, but you're differentiating between just planting the occasional seed and leaving it and then wanting to save those around you. These are two different things altogether. We're talking about generalities of the occasional person that when they've listened to the radio or whatever, or they've already been asking questions, that's why they listen to these kind of shows. So they're asking questions.
Good.
Just by seeking, they're asking the questions.
Exactly. Thank
you. But other people, say those right next to you, who like the idea of the world as it's been presented and reinforced to them, you can't just walk in and say, hey, you got it all wrong. You have to understand this. That's a typical expression
yeah.
people use.
Well, maybe it
and,
is.
And that's
what I'm not talking about being that blunt.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being that blunt and saying you've
uh-huh.
got to get this or else or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And as I say, in every religion, you have little keys to truths which are buried from the masses because they're never really explained to the masses by the priests or preachers who are set up there. And even in the West, for the Christian side, they have the same thing. They tell you a little story, a little allegory, with a truth contained within. And in the West, it was Jesus and his family comes to visit and wants to get ahead of the crowd and right up to Jesus. And he's told they're there in the audience. He says, well, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who are my brothers and sisters? Meaning those of the same mindset were really his family.
I think people understand that, don't
yeah,
you?
They don't take
that we have.
They might understand it, but they don't understand the truth of it. You see?
You mean the truth of the fact that those of us who are really family are of the same mind? You think they don't understand?
Definitely, or they're walking on the same path. Or there's someone behind you somewhere. You know.
There you go.
But regardless, yeah, you've broken out of the
there
tradition.
There you go. Thank you.
You've already broken away from what was supposed to be the set-up norm. And you have to accept that you are giving up that. And that was the whole point of truth. There are no guarantees with it. It doesn't say you only have perpetual bliss. That's for the New Agers that can think themselves in fantasy and purr, as I say, like a cat forever. Truth, it will take you through mountains and valleys.
And so will love, won't it, Alan?
Oh, that too, because with everything, there are two sides of everything.
Yes.
Can't truly have a picture of anything unless you truly experience both sides, the pain, the ecstasy, everything. These are all growing experiences, and it's out of all of these things that the spiritual side will develop. You can't do it without it.
The spiritual side will develop.
Yeah.
Yes.
You cannot bypass it. You can't take shortcuts. You can't just throw down money and say, teach me this. And I've had offers. One guy offered $140,000 if I just give him the bottom line.
Bottom line of what?
Truth and reality.
Like
as
you know it. Like
yeah, here's the money, give me my coffee.
And then anything you say to him, he'll say that's it because Alan Watt said it.
Yeah.
That's the guru. That's what I told you last night, Alan. This
yeah.
isn't funny, really. It isn't
but that's
fun.
How people are.
No, that isn't yeah. how people are. That's how people are with
you. A lot of people are like that. And if you think I'm wrong, just look,
Alan,
at the professional gurus in California.
I know that, but okay, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I said this last night, that you have become like a guru to a lot of people. And see, they think you know everything.
Yeah. And that's why I tell them, you know, don't become me.
Or believe everything I say.
Like that too. Check everything. And you must find yourself.
That's
you must
good.
Find who you are.
But, last night when we were talking, and I mentioned to you, I'm switching us grossly here, but it's kind of in the same vein. You had mentioned back in May. In fact, I checked on the date because I want to make sure it was the 17th of May this year, and that was when you said that you talked to people one-on-one, and you're deprogramming them, and then you're reprogramming them. And last night I asked you, well, who has the right, you know, to program anybody? And you said, well, you know, the best you can do is give them a place to go or a start. And I said, is that what you mean by reprogramming? And you said, no. And so I wonder, when you talk about programming somebody's mind, Alan, do you or does anybody have a right to do it?
You do if they're completely, utterly at their wit's end.
Programming
and
their
many
mind?
Many of them are at their wit's end. Dangerously so.
What does programming somebody's mind mean then? Because maybe I'm looking at it...
When you deprogram someone, you can't leave a blank sheet or you've got a zombie.
Okay.
Okay.
So you reprogram.
You give a basic there, a basis for them to begin with. What they do with it is up to them.
Okay, so you're not really programming somebody's mind.
No, I'm not indoctrinating anybody.
Well, that's what you said. You're reprogramming them.
No, I'm not indoctrinating anybody, Jackie.
I know
you want to believe that, but because you keep saying it over and over, and I've told you I'm not doing that.
No, excuse me, Alan. No, you said reprogramming, and I heard reprogramming. That's why I asked you to explain it the way you meant
it. If someone asks you for what would you call what you give them?
If somebody asks...
A suggestion?
Excuse me.
Is it a suggestion
if somebody,
or is it the truth?
If somebody asks for reality... I wouldn't know what to give them because I don't know what is reality. I'm not there, Alan, you know, that I have every answer.
But what you give them, if they can handle it, is a basic platform to begin with.
Like,
and if they want to go on with it, they can carry on themselves or they can get back to you.
Okay.
But at least they've got more to stand on than they had before.
Okay. Well, then that isn't programming somebody's mind. Not in the way I took it. And thank you, Alan.
It's not mind control. It's not mind control.
Well, no, it was the use... You used the word reprogramming. And, you know, that has been such a topic of our conversations, how people's minds have been programmed, that when you said, I reprogrammed them, as I said, it slipped me by when you first said it, and then I thought about it, and I said, wait a minute. Reprogramming.
Let me put it straight to you, then you can get off the topic. If someone asks me for a truth and they're in a bad way, I'll ask them how bad they are. I'll ask them what they've already looked at. I'll see where the core of their problem lies. And if they're really serious and I think they're in trouble, I will give them a basic grounding to stand on. But as I say, I'd leave it to them where they go with it.
That's good. That isn't programming somebody's mind.
It's all semantics.
It's a word that we've used a lot. And you have to forgive me, Alan, if that... You gave me what I was asking for.
Jackie, you won't let it go, will you? We should move over this and go on to the next thing. Because it's explained. Unless you don't think it is explained.
No, it isn't that I don't think it's explained, no. But it
because it's...
I know, and I'm going to say something else about it again, and then you're going to say, you won't let it go, will you? Because it sounds
but
like...
But you won't, you see. If something's in your bonnet, you won't let it go. If it wasn't bugging you, you'd let it go. So there's another reason why it's bugging you.
And maybe it's bugging you. Maybe I'm bugging you, Alan.
If you keep on about it, there's an intent somewhere. Which is different from what I'm hearing.
Okay. So in other words, I won't have the last word. And then everything...
If that's important. If that's important. That's silly, yeah.
You really have a way with words, don't you, Alan?
Not words.
Yes.
It's not words.
Okay. All right. Well, so we have about 10 minutes left here. Where do we go with this?
Well, the topic really is about a spiritual side of someone who's breaking out of this conditioned reality,
mm-hmm.
where everyone's had the same conditioning, minor variations, minor degrees of different things, maybe even abuse, because it's not an abusive system. However, we've all gone through the same broad spectrum road, you might say, to be trained in the same things, the same ways of looking at things, the same understandings and conclusions, and that's mass indoctrination. That's what the whole... it's a lifelong indoctrination where we don't have to think for ourselves. The answers are debated on television by experts, and we pick the one we like best. That's why they always give you two opposing sides to politics or what a president just said or whatever. Everything is given to us on a plate.
Yes.
And we don't really participate in anything.
Yes. And we've talked about this many, many times, haven't we?
Yeah, and so therefore, if you truly want to break out of the system, you have to take the responsibility of having a purpose now. You have a purpose. Most people who don't really know what's wrong will be told by the system that it's themselves that's wrong. Therefore, they go to psychiatrists or counselors or therapy meetings or group meetings and so on. And yet still inside there's an emptiness there. And it's because they have no purpose, no real reason for being. And that gnaws away at them. So when you break out of the box and you realize, wait a minute, you can be quite correct with what you're saying as a minority of one. You don't need the majority vote here,
and
or
that,
the majority conclusions.
And that is when...
And so it's all right to be different from the rest.
Yes.
And you've broken free, you are breaking free. And you take the consequence, yeah, you might be lonely at times, but there's an added benefit because now your mind is totally free.
Yes.
And it becomes more free all the time. The more you want to hang on to things, the more it will hold you back. The more depressed you'll become on and off, and you can go through a roller coaster until you understand that you belong, you don't belong to the same people anymore. You've moved on.
And the spiritual side of that individual, that is the beginning of the development.
It's a road, yep, it's a road, and sometimes it doesn't seem clear, but as the tragedies happen, the hope happens as well, and the reality of the fulfillment of the hope happens.
Yes.
As I said, you have mountains and valleys, and each time you your mind really expands with understanding, and you think you've reached the top of the mountain, you're down the valley again to digest it for a while before you got the next mountain.
Yeah, that's
there's
like
so much to know.
That's like being the big frog in the little pond, and then when you come to a new understanding, you're like the little tiny frog in a great big huge pond.
That's right.
Yes. And
so you got to, it's a matter of leaving behind and taking the risks, leaving behind all that was to become something that will be.
Yes.
And the choice is yours.
Always. But
and you have to let go of many things too.
Yes. And I'm going to repeat what you said, is that there are people right now who are breaking out of that. And it is the beginning of their journey. And I'm not sure that I express myself in the way that, well, I grope for words, Alan, but when we were talking about people being on different paths or different levels, I don't know the word that it would be appropriate there, but you just said it, and I appreciate that, that everybody is on just awakening, opening their eyes. It's just an ongoing process, and there are many different stages of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you get a glimpse of a higher truth that can be almost overwhelming, and that's the reward that you've really sought. And it comes in different times and periods, and each one is worth all that you think you may have lost. But at that time, anyway, you know, really, you lost nothing at all. You've gained far more than most people. And as I say, you've overcome the world, a tremendous breakthrough.
Yes.
Tremendous.
Are you saying that very beginning is overcoming the world because that first step is taken, Alan?
When you've cast off everything and reevaluated everything, because you've changed. Once you've changed completely, you will see everything differently. Everything.
Yes.
You have a deeper insight into yourself, into why you used to think this way, even about acquaintances or loved ones and so on. But at the same time, you've now broken through and left them. Sorry, it may be sad to say, but you've left them. And you must go on from there higher.
And maybe we've left them, or maybe the separation just happened.
Yeah.
You know, a separation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just one more, and you're, once again, I'll ask your forgiveness when I ask this question. It isn't to be argumentative, but it's to get in my mind the cognitiveness of this message, because you said a couple or three times, when people begin to suddenly awaken, the spiritual side then will begin to develop. And then in the past and at other times, you said everybody doesn't have spirit. We have to call it to us. And
it's something that comes to you, and it's not channeling or asking for even asking for something to come to you.
It's just something
you
that
know
it is
that,
within.
That the knowledge coming closer and closer as you seek the same thing. You're seeking it. It's coming closer and closer. And as I said, when you die to the old world system and its old values and indoctrinations, then it happens much quicker.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
The differentiation that I hope to make here is because you had said on one program, Not Sweet Liberty, that there is a spirit that was made for everybody, but we
have what they always call.
We have to call it
your true soulmate.
And,
is what they used to call
and,
it.
And then you said, spirit doesn't always come to everybody. And
that's right.
Well, do you? What does that mean? Does that mean that there's something?
It doesn't come because see, not everybody is honest about the thing in the first place.
No, we're talking about people who are calling spirit to them, and spirit doesn't always come.
Yeah, and you don't have to call it that either. You can call it anything you want. It's the wisdom. It's something much bigger than all of this. Much, much bigger. It's not traditional channeling or spirit guides.
Oh,
or
I'm not.
Like
no, I'm not talking about that.
It's way beyond all of that, and it's always been the same in
and
every age.
It is within each and every one of us.
It's the capacity, the innate capacity would be there.
Yes, that would be it, wouldn't it?
It would be there. However, there's also choice of the physical, and of the physical person as well has a personality. And most choose never to go in that direction.
In what direction?
To seek something bigger, something the other part.
Oh, no, but I was talking about those who were seeking.
Yeah, and they truly are seeking, and even honest with themselves, because you can't get it, and it won't happen. It will not happen unless you can stand back and look at yourself and your whole life and everything you've ever done in your life. It won't happen otherwise.
And that's like calling something into us that isn't there. That's going to make
that
a choice.
That way, yeah.
That's going to make a choice whether we're going to get it or not. That's kind of a hopelessness, isn't it, Alan?
It's hopeless for people like that. You can't take who you are with you with the guarantees that you will be you.
But somebody who dotes on you and everything you say, and they're truly wanting truth, and they're seeking, and they're calling, and they hear, well, spirit doesn't always come. And you know what? I've talked to people that have gotten very upset with wondering, is spirit going to come when they call?
We're out of time. You can't whistle for it, no.
Then, I know.
No, it will come when you are honest with yourself.
It'll come.
When you are honest with yourself and about yourself.
Thank
you. We're here with Amazing Alan at the wildest roller coaster ride in the world.
Okay, what are you going to do? Slam me into a wall?
No, Alan. As a matter of fact, I will ride the roller coaster with you.
Really?
Sure, Alan. Hop in.
Okay.
I'll just pull down my safety bar.
Where's my safety bar?
Alan, you don't have a safety bar.
Huh?
You're illustrating going through life's ups and downs without God.
But what if there's a loop-de-loop?
Alan, we were not meant to handle life's uncertainties like this drop without God.
What?